Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Well, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing well.
Well, you ask.
Well, you know, and it's because I'm just a little discombobulated. We're talking about something today that we've all thought about, we've all wondered about, we've all even maybe tried a little bit, but it's a very awkward, complicated issue to talk about because you don't know what your parameters are sometimes. We're talking about church discipline. You might ask the question, why do we need church discipline if I'm just getting into a church that I'm revitalizing and replanting? It's brand new ministry for me. What do I do about church discipline? So let's be honest, it's usually done rather poorly. But we're addressing an article by our good friend Jared Wilson on ways to keep church discipline without seeming weird.
Yeah, that's hard to do, isn't it?
It seems to me that
some
it
of
is.
Us just seem weird no matter what we do. Yeah. So when I saw the title of this, I thought anything that I can look at and I don't look weird, then I want that.
Few and far between, aren't they?
They are. Hey, I'm Mark Clifton.
I'm Dan Hurst, and that's Mark.
Hey, guys.
You know, I realize that people who listen every week, you know, the dozens of you, you know who we are. But once in a while, we probably need to go back around. And Dan is our voice, and Dan's a good friend of mine, and he's in Lee Summit, Missouri. Is that right? Lee Summit, Missouri.
Most beautiful voice you've ever heard.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Just gorgeous.
Dan's been a pastor. He has a son of an international missionary, grew up in Honduras, been my buddy for decades. Mark is the pastor of the Calvary Church in Inglewood, a church that has replanted, and then replanted dozens of churches and raises up replanters. And I'm Mark Clifton. So here we all are around the table, and Kyle's over here at the board.
Where are we today, by the way?
We are back in the Spurgeon podcast studio in the Spurgeon Library at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, the city of fountains, I might say.
By the way, I was on the way to the library here this morning.
Yes.
And do you know where the oldest fountain is in Kansas City? Where are the oldest? What would be the oldest fountain in Kansas
City? I don't know. What is the oldest
fountain? I don't know the answer to that. But we drive right by one here by the campus.
Oh, we do,
which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It is.
And then, of course, there's down on the plaza. What we're doing is stalling. We're stalling because we don't want to talk about church discipline.
See, that's what we do in churches. We do everything except deal with church discipline. We're modeling that for you
right now.
Because none of us want to deal with church discipline. We think if we just sort of ignore it, it will get better on its own, right? Or we'll have enough time to find another church that we can go to and we can leave this one so we don't have to deal with the church discipline and we leave it for the next pastor. But again, the title of this article, as you said, by Jared is 5 ways to keep church discipline from seeming weird.
Well, let's talk about it. Why do you need church discipline?
Go with it, Mark. Why do we need church discipline?
Well, man, we need church discipline ultimately for the purity of the church. I would say the glory of God. I mean, as Southern Baptists, we believe in regenerated church membership. We believe that these are the people of God who have been saved by Christ, and the church is to function in a particular way. And Satan wants to do all he can to bring division. In our flesh and our selfishness, we can pursue power in ways that we shouldn't pursue power. And we can hijack, in many ways, what the Spirit is trying to do in a church. And I think in dying churches in particular, you see ego, you see sin interfere with the plans of the Lord. The Lord is at work, and he's trying to bring life to this church. And so if we don't confront sin, we're not only dishonoring the Lord, but quite frankly, we're not helping that church grow in health in the biblical way. That's the bottom line. So I would say the honor of the Lord, the good of the person involved, it's out of love, first of all, church discipline, and the protection of the people. And so what Jared lays out, guys, are kind of five five kind of steps, or like he said, ways to keep church discipline from seeming weird. And the first one that he says is make disciples. Is make disciples. What does he mean by that?
Well, I think he's very spot on here, is that if we're making disciples, they'll understand church discipline. It'll make sense to them. If I'm truly a disciple of Christ and we're in a discipleship relationship together, and we're both growing, we're all growing together in a relationship of becoming more like Christ and seeking to become more like Him, then when I get off track on that, it's a very natural thing to say part of the discipleship is church discipline. And by the way, church discipline doesn't mean the first thing we do is kick you out of the church.
That's right.
That's not the first option, right?
Yep.
And so a lot of times when guys hear church discipline, they think, oh, that means, you know, expelling them from the membership. No. That's the last step, right? And even then, it's loving, redemptive, restorative church discipline.
Yeah.
But church discipline is just basically saying, hey, wait a minute, I think you're going off the guardrails a little bit. I see you doing some things that is not going to be helpful to you or to your family.
That's right.
And if you're in a discipleship relationship with a group of people, a group of men, that's a very natural, comfortable thing to do. But if you're just church members and you just see each other on Sunday morning, it's like, what business is it of yours what I'm doing?
That's right.
And so I think what Jared's saying here is if you have a culture of discipleship, then church discipline seems organic in that. Mm. It's like it's sort of natural in that.
It's the natural overflow of a growing disciple.
And again, we've said so many times, even on this podcast, you know, we don't have an attendance problem or a giving problem or an evangelism problem. We have a discipleship problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have disciples.
That's right.
We just have people who have church membership who believe they're entitled to something, rather than men and women who are truly disciples who want to become more like Jesus and are willing to be shaped and taught and molded and those kinds of things. So I do think we can't just skip over that.
Yep.
If your church doesn't have a strong pattern of making disciples, church discipline is going to be very, very difficult. And it's going to seem very, very weird.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Because we haven't been in that kind of relationship. And now you come along and you tell me, what business is it of yours if I don't come to church every Sunday?
That's
what
right.
business is it of yours if I'm not treating my wife the way you think I ought to treat her?
Yep.
You know, that's not your business. Well, if you're in a discipleship relationship, it's all of we're in this together. We hold each other accountable.
That's right. Well, and this is why there are pieces to create a discipleship culture. This is why the faithful preaching of the Word of God every week.
Yep.
You're not up there to just preach your ideas. You're there to preach the Word. Does the Word have authority in your church? And then, therefore, does it have authority in the lives of your people? It shouldn't be a shock, then. That they're being held to what the Bible teaches, unless you don't teach the Bible.
Right.
And so that's huge. Let's go to number two.
Well, hang on. Before you do that.
Yep.
Don't. I heard Mark Dever say this. It's so important. You can only conduct church discipline to the degree that the church gives you the authority to do it. You can't go in there, you and a group of deacons or elders. If the church doesn't understand what you're doing, we'll talk about that in a minute. But you don't necessarily, if you go to a church that's never had church discipline, and you can look across that congregation, you can say, whoa, man, there are some people that we need to talk to about this. That's not where you start.
That's right.
You really start with, we need to make a culture of discipleship.
Yeah.
Right? I need to have some patience, because you can go in there and try to kick people out and you'll get fired.
That's right.
Because you don't have a consensus among the church that we should be doing this. So the way you develop a consensus among the congregation to actually have a congregation where church discipline is a reality is to have a congregation where discipleship's a reality.
Yes.
So you take your time and you start with making a culture of discipleship.
Yep.
I would say that's really important before you jump right to church discipline.
Well, dude, listen, part of it is I see some young guys, and it's great. There's almost been a resurgence in conversations about church discipline.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. The problem is I think some guys see it as a hobby. It's like, man, this is a blast. I love this. I can't wait to discipline people. And I'm like, listen, guys, remember, let's go back to the basics and revitalization. You've got to love the heck out of those people.
Yeah.
You've got to win their hearts. You've got to earn the right to be able to speak a hard truth and to go to you know, you may say, well, they're not being biblical. Listen, they don't care. They're not healthy sheep, probably.
Right.
And so remember your role. This is a long-haul vision of bringing health to a congregation. It's not just an overnight
thing. Well, I think you just spoke to the very key, and the foundation of it all is it's got to be motivated by love.
That's right.
You
Amen.
Cannot discipline somebody because of a legalistic attitude that this is wrong and we've got to fix it.
Yes.
You don't fix anybody with that kind of an attitude. And,
That's right.
And it's got to be – I think in my personal opinion, when I've participated in disciplinary action, it's always been with a broken heart.
Oh, right, for sure. You know,
right.
Because I don't see any other way of restoring a family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the way you treat your family. That's the way you treat your church.
Absolutely. So create a culture of discipleship. That's the basis for church discipline. Most guys don't realize that.
Yep.
And so if you don't have church members who really have been in discipleship relationships, you need to do that first.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. What's number two?
Number two is this: create clarity about church membership. And membership, and that's really important because in the context of church discipline, church membership is the covenant we're making with one another to actually pursue a process like this.
Right. And often what you'll hear, especially in Southern Baptist churches, is, as I just said a while ago, this is none of your business. What are you doing up in my business?
Yeah,
you leave me alone. You know, this is my life.
Yep.
Well, in a covenant church membership, we agree that we are in this together.
Yeah.
And in a covenant church membership, we even agree that we will submit, oh, that's a terrible word people hate, to the authority of our church leaders.
Right.
But we also agree the church leaders are held accountable by Christ himself for how they lead us. That's a covenant relationship between all of us and Christ. And so if we understand when we join the church that we are making ourselves available for this, that's a whole different thing. But you go to a lot of churches, they have no covenant membership.
Right.
Membership was they walked down an aisle and the pastor greeted them and they said, we'd like to join on promise of letter. And the pastor said, all in favor say amen. And they said amen and they were members.
Okay, let me ask you something about that.
Yeah.
Tell us about, because some of us, I think the covenant membership thing, that's something in my generation that's been the more of a norm.
It was never the norm in my generation.
Yeah, so why was that, do you think? And what have been the effects of it? Because you're right. I
guess I would say that you know, back in the 50s, 60s, and even 70s, there was a cultural understanding of who Southern Baptists were, and we sort of, but that certainly went away in the 80s and 90s, and now people bring all kinds of attitudes of what it means to be a church membership, and they sort of bring their own ideas. But even back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, we didn't practice church discipline.
Yeah.
We just didn't.
Right.
People just quit coming, and that's why you had 900 on the rolls and 200 in attendance. There's no church discipline if you got 900 on the rolls and 200 in attendance. I'm sorry, guys, but there just isn't, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you holding them accountable to? So we didn't have church discipline. It's just never been in our culture.
It's never been part of the culture.
No, I mean, I don't remember one time in my father's ministry of 50-plus years of pretty significant-sized churches where there was a process of church discipline. And there were a lot of times that my dad or the deacons would talk to people, but there wasn't a process.
Yeah, right.
And people didn't know what to expect. Wasn't clear.
Yep.
And so I think and the way you begin this, guys, is not to take your 30 members you have now and say, okay, y'all got to become covenant members. That, again, they'll fire you.
Yeah.
You start with the new ones who come in, and you create covenant membership for the new ones. We'll have another podcast about that. But clarity when you join. A young man was baptizing. I was at a church the other day, and he was baptizing a new convert. And he said something I've never really heard before. He said something about, he named her name. He said, you know, Catherine, do you believe in Christ? And he gave their profession of faith, and she did. And then he said, are you willing to unite with this church and become part of the brotherhood and sisterhood of this church? And she said, yes. And are you willing to submit to the leadership and the authority of this church for instruction and reproof? And she said, yes. And I've never heard that before.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
In a baptism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not
interesting.
Sure. Interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but at least she understood, right? Before she went under the water. It's pretty clear.
It's clear.
And so that's a young man. So I think younger people see that we need some clarity on this issue. So
that's
number
one,
make disciples. Number two, make it clear what church membership means.
Yep. Number three is teach the process. Guys, let me just read. The good news is you don't have to come up with some process.
Mm-hmm.
You don't invent some process. We go to the scriptures, and the scriptures are clear. And so from Matthew 18, let me just read this. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So the process is actually very clear in this. We summarize it this way. Always start with going to your brother or sister and seek to win them over. Talk about it. Address it. Truth and love, whatever this might look like. If there's a rebellious spirit, and remember, this is flowing from a place of love
right.
and care for this individual, then bring one or two others with you. That's happened many times as a pastor. I'll take another elder with me and say, we need to go talk to this guy in love. And sometimes that means going to his house because he's not texting me back and he's not going to get with him.
That's right.
That's what,
that happens a lot.
And that's what shepherds do. You go after the sheep. You pursue the sheep because you love the sheep. And you know what? If that doesn't go well, that's where the next step is to go to the congregation. And that's why church membership is so important. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the members, the covenant members of a church that are believers who are, we pray, mature enough in their faith to be able to deal with this in a loving and wise manner, to lead this person. I mean, the hope is to lead this person to a place of repentance and life in Christ, right?
Right.
And then if that step, if it's forget you guys, I don't want to do that, then basically what the scriptures teach us is, you can say it in different ways. You know, Paul talks about hand them over to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But again, out of love. This isn't like, well, get out of here, we don't want you. This is, our hearts break that you're living in rebellion, and we pray for your repentance. Right. But at this point, we're going to let you go. And you pray that they will come back. So anyway, these are the basic steps in the process.
Exactly.
And we have to teach the process.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Here's the point that Jared's pointing out here when he says ways to keep it from seeming weird is that the only time you talk about it is not when you have to do church discipline.
Yeah.
But if it's part of the whole teaching of the church, if it's your whole context of who you are as a church, right? Then it doesn't seem weird when you have to do it when you do it. And again, removing people from membership is the last step. Not, you know, most time we won't even get there if you
right,
do it
exactly.
appropriately.
That's right,
right.
That's right.
But again, teach the process all along. Teach it in your new member orientation as you do the update of the church. Just as you're preaching normally, find ways to put it in there that this is not weird. This is not unusual. This is what the New Testament church does. This is what Jesus tells us to do.
That's exactly
this is what
right.
shepherds do. We protect the flock.
Yep.
And just teach the process.
That's right.
And I think what Jared's talking about here is, Dan, we ignore the process.
Right.
We don't want to bring this up.
Well, we don't know what the process is.
No, we don't. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I was just thinking while you were talking, I was thinking, what does it mean? I mean, figuratively, I mean, paint the picture for me. What does it mean to bring somebody up on discipline? In other words, we had a situation in a church just recently where one of the pastors went to one of the church members and was just really bothered by something that was going on and said, well, you know, if you don't change, I'm going to bring you up for church discipline.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Exactly. You know what I think it means? When I was a kid, I'd watch these Westerns where the about the fort out in the West, right? And they would get drummed out of the Corps. They would do something they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And I had this vision in my mind, you know, all the soldiers are lined up there in front of the fort, and this poor sap, they're beating the drums, and he walks up in front of the captain, and they rip off his insignia off his uniform, you know, and then they kick him out of the fort, and he walks out in the desert all by himself. That's how most people think church discipline in the church is done, right?
Yeah.
He's going to bring you up on church discipline.
Yeah.
Even the way we say that, it makes it seem
well,
weird.
Well, I mean, that's where, again, I mean, you know, it's not like you go to the Bible and say, here is the church discipline process.
No.
What you see is what we just read.
Right.
Right.
And I think, again, this is where guys get more excited about the idea of disciplining people than just following what Jesus says. And this leads us to number four, which is follow the process.
Don't be inconsistent with it.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, look, if you make disciples and you teach clarity about church membership and you teach a process and then you don't follow it.
Yeah.
Because, well, I don't know, you know, I hate to do it to this person because they've got a bunch of family members and it's going to get really ugly. So we kind of give them a pass. But here's somebody who doesn't have any family in the church and they're kind of obnoxious and, you know, we'll follow it with them. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
If you're going to teach, it's like your children.
Yeah.
First of all, obviously, it's like your children. You discipline your children because you love your children. Jesus, God disciplines us because he loves us.
That's right.
We discipline church members because we love them. But man, you don't discipline one. You discipline one child different than you discipline the other. What happens in your family?
Mm.
I mean, that just creates more problems than it solves. So you've got to be consistent in following the process.
The other thing I would say on this, because I've been asked this a lot, how do you actually do this? We need to acknowledge the fact that this is really, really difficult in this culture for a lot of reasons. So I live in Denver. So this is why I think you have to really take seriously step one. And step two, which is you've got to pursue, you got to talk, bring others. We want to win them over. Because here's the truth. To get to step three, and this is what I tell you, most people, they're long gone. Because what assuming this for this process to work, you actually have to have a man or woman in sin who agrees to the process.
Right.
Does that make sense? And so that means if you haven't done the work of loving and caring and earning trust that they believe you actually want their best for them, they're not going to see through the process. No, you think they're going to come to the a congregational meeting?
They'll just leave.
They'll just leave. Right. And so again, this is very difficult. And in a city like ours where they'll go to another church. And so, again, I'm not saying that this is impossible. What I am saying is it's very difficult. And if we aren't, we can only control what we can control. We follow the process as best we can. But it does involve the other party choosing to see, be
but
part
the
of the process.
But the process requires discipline.
It does.
Yeah,
see,
that's right.
It takes discipline to discipline.
Oh, man, that's so true.
And and if you don't show discipline, you can't expect the other party to.
We've already gone over 20 minutes, so we have a lack of discipline. We've wasted all that time talking
about
fountains.
Well, this is grace.
This is grace. Okay, so we're going to do the fifth one real quick, and then we'll put these in the show notes. And I think we will come back at some point and have another episode just on church discipline. But we're looking at the five ways you can keep church discipline from seem weird, make disciples, be clear about church membership, teach the process, follow the process, and number five.
Practice gospel-centeredness.
What does that mean?
And this is huge. I think this goes back to a little bit of what we've been saying. At the end of the day, if the gospel of grace and truth and Christ is not at the center of our motivations in this and the way we approach this with someone. Because remember, the goal is, and we talk about gospel-centeredness, is we remember that as we have been forgiven, so we are to forgive others, right? And so the gospel compels us to run after sinners with grace that they might experience freedom and joy in the Lord through Jesus in the way that we have. And so, in other words, you take the gospel out of this, this could be a very vindictive, hurtful process in so many ways. The gospel, I think, keeps our hearts and our minds in check to approach this with the love and grace of Jesus for sinners.
Perfect ending. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, talking about an issue that we very, very seldom talk about. I don't even really remember spending a whole lot of time on this in seminary. You know, it was one of those things that we weren't really, really taught, which means that we should probably bring some of those guys up on discipline for not teaching what they should.
We'll get right on that.
We'll get right on that. Thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us for the next episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.